Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining. Is that okay if I'll just go into, before I start, I'll just go into lecture mode so we don't get any of the background noises. But if you do want to ask any question at any point, you can press star 2, and I'll see on my screen here that you have your hand raised, and I can turn to you and hear what you want to say. Okay? Here we go. And thank you for joining us today to hear about how to come out ahead when your family faces big challenges. We know how challenging parenting is and how hard it is for parents to carve out the time for themselves. So thank you again for taking this time. In this call, my hope is to give you information that you can take and try in your family and hopefully talk about some tools that when used regularly can make a real difference in your parenting. I will talk a little bit about Hand in Hand for those of you who are not familiar with the organization and say a few words about our approach, and then hopefully we can just start to talk about our topic for today. So Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and its mission is to improve the lives of parents and children by nurturing the parent-child connection. We bring parents information, tools, and lots of support for the vital work of parenting. We know that the work of nurturing children is not work that's done well all by yourself. So that's why we offer parents support through classes and support groups, whether in person or online. We have lots and lots of articles on our website that are all free. We have booklets and podcasts that can all be found on our website. We also have an online discussion group for parents to ask questions and share their experiences. And we offer free teleseminars like this one you're listening to right now, a great blog with parent success stories, and also intensive trainings for parents and professionals. And later on in the call, I'm going to say a little bit more about the parents intensive. In a few words, I want to try and sum up what Parenting by Connection is. It's the name of our approach. And the main ideas that are behind this are the following four. The first one is that we parents need and deserve support for the emotional challenge of parenting. And that's really key for Parenting by Connection. And our belief is that we can build that support and have much more success meeting our own needs and our children's when we have that. The second idea is that our children are born to feel connected with us. The sense of connection is what they need in order to learn to build friendships and to build resilience and confidence as they grow. When children don't feel connected, their behavior goes off track and they signal us for help. And this is what we learn in our classes to actually recognize and identify those signals. And surprisingly, we find that fostering laughter and play without tickling, setting limits without harshness, and supporting children to have good, hearty cries and tantrums help our children feel more fully connected to us and helps them leave difficult behaviors behind. So that's our approach in a nutshell. And Hand in Hand actually help parents strengthen and rebuild the parent-child connection so we can feel successful as we love our children and so our children can thrive on the love that we have for them. So as I said before, my name is Ravid Eisenman Abramson, and today I'm here with Roma Norris, who is a Parenting by Connection certification candidate from this year. And I'm going to let Nora introduce herself now. Hi, Roma. Oops, did I say Nora?
That's okay.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Roma. Hi, Roma.
Hi, so I'm a mom of two living in Bath. I'm just completing the certification to be a Parenting by Connection instructor. Our family has been through some quite big challenges too. We've done a lot of house moving, and I've been quite ill for quite a long time, until quite recently. And also one of my children, I think it's fair to say he's kind of neuroatypical in the way that he responds to the world. So there's been some quite big challenges there too. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Could you say how old are your children?
Yes. Yes, I have a 7-year-old boy and a 3-year-old girl.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Ravid.
And Roma's going to tell us some more later on about the way that she's been applying the approach and using the tools and how it's helped them with their family. As for me, I'm a trainer with Hand in Hand. I started working for Hand in Hand in 2009 while my family was living in the U.S. And for the past 5 years, I've been doing this work in Israel. This is where I'm at now. I have two daughters. My oldest one is 17 and my youngest one is 13. And for me and my family, learning and teaching this approach has been like a real great gift. Not long after I started teaching for Hand in Hand, our family decided to move back to Israel, where we originally came from. And this big move was something I had been longing to do for a long time. But I truly believe that the support that I got for myself as a mother and the knowledge I gained on how to meet my daughter's emotional needs in such difficult times, all these were keys factors that helped me through this rocking experience, and it really was a rocking experience, and I'll share some more later. And I sometimes like to say that, as often happens with families, the challenges do not really disappear, they just change shape. So that's definitely the case for us. But again, what I find over and over again, that no matter what the challenge we're facing or dealing with at our hands, these tools are lifesavers, really. So I want to say a little bit, talk just a little bit generally about challenges in our life, and say that every family at some point over time has faced or is going to face some big challenge. And I'm sure some of you that are here with us today can agree with me on that. Whether it's a challenge that we are willingly accepting and initiating, like moving or separating from a partner, or whether it's something that we did not plan or wish for, like sickness or death. Whatever the challenge is, there are always big feelings involved. And I think I would like my main message for today to be that no matter what challenge our families have to face, if we carry through together, keeping our sense of connection and keeping our own needs met, a challenge is also an opportunity for growth and strength in our family's relationship. I think that one of the reasons that we as adults tend to look at challenging time as so hard and scary is because when we were little and we were dealing with changes or challenges, there was no one there who really listened to all the feelings that we had about them. Just a second, I'm going to move here to lecture mode again because I'm getting a little bit of background noise. Sorry. So no one actually listened to our feelings when they came up for us. And oftentimes the adults around us not only didn't listen, but they would even punish or shame us for having those feelings. So not only were we left with our big feelings unheard, but we got our parents' reaction hurt us even more on top of that. So no wonder that we are not that eager to face new challenges today. And that's also probably the reason why we would do everything in our ability to actually save our children from having to go through any of this. So oftentimes what happens is that we parents are doing all kinds of bypassing. I call it a challenge bypass, even common and everyday ones, just so they won't end up feeling like we did when we were little. And this is a very natural and common reaction among parents. But there are other ways to deal with challenges that can be a little more effective and hopefully long-lasting. So today I would like to give you some tools that would hopefully help you know how you can help your children at those challenging times, and on top of that, help you find the support that you need to be able to face the difficulty and not feel as alone in it. I also want to say that we're going to leave some time at the end for your questions. So if you have them right now, it would be good just to write them down so you won't forget, and I can hopefully get all of your questions answered before we finish this call. So the first thing to start when we are coming to deal with a challenge in our life is actually with our own feelings. And I know it's probably not your first instinct, but it should. You know how they show us on the safety videos on board of airplanes, how at times of emergency when the oxygen masks go down, you have to put your mask first before you put it on your child. The same thing applies here. In order to help and support our children well when times are hard, we need to make sure that we are well-resourced first. And this is because children are really, really sensitive to how you are feeling, and you actually set the tone of the household. So if you are overwhelmed by the new situation, which can be natural, of course, it can be a really hard thing for your child. One of the hardest things for children is to see grown-ups around them clouded with heavy feelings that they don't get to offload. So for you to communicate to your child that all is well, you will need to help yourself see that first. And how do we do that? So the first tool I'm going to talk about today is called listening partnership. And what listening partnership is all about is spending some time talking with a good listener about your own feelings, the positive and the negative. You voice your fears. You tell them how afraid you are of being wrong or about not wanting to have regrets. You grieve your losses, and you take some time to say goodbye to things that will no longer be a part of your life. Here I want to mention in just a little personal note that in the past year and a half, I've been dealing with a really hard sickness with my mom, and one of the things that I was actually doing over my listening time again and again is saying goodbye to her. Although this is not my wish, this is not where I hope things are going to go, this is definitely not what I say to people around me, but these are the feelings that bubble up inside of me. And listening partnership is the only place where I can voice those fears and give them room and space. And what this helps me is to be much more hopeful and vital when I'm around her and not feel as desperate and powerless when I'm with her. So this idea is actually going to help you to set an open and positive tone. I'm talking about my mother, but if we're talking about challenges with your children, it's offering you a positive tone for your children, and it's going to help you gather as much of your psychological resources as possible to truly support them through. So another thing that happened for us as a family is after my family moved to Israel, my husband had to stay and work in the U.S. And that meant very long periods of time for us not being together as a family. It also meant getting into a single mom role, which I've never chosen. And it meant much more support needed for my girls, who were dealing with both the transition, the big transition, and with their father absence at the same time. And that was not an easy task. You can be sure of that. And the emotional support that I got from my listening partnerships have helped me face the true challenge of this change. It was the ability to express all the hard and intense feeling that I had that have helped me feel much more confident about our move, happy and ready to give my daughters the support and listening that they needed. In particular, I wanted to share with you one time that I remember when it was with my older daughter when she was 16, so it was last year, and it was a period when things were stressful between us. We were quarreling, and I was frustrated with her behavior, and I remember taking some listening time around my feeling about her and my frustration with her and the fact that I had to deal with it all by myself. And it was loud, and it was wet, and it was full of feelings. And the wonderful thing that I can't forget, that really stuck in my mind from that time, was that I remember that shortly after I finished my listening partnership, I left my room and I went toward my daughter's room, and she was just coming out of it. She took one look at me and threw her arms around me for a hug. And I was in shock. I mean, it was the last thing I would have expected to come from her in those days because there was stress between us. And later on that evening, I was driving her somewhere, and on the way there, she said, "Mommy, can I share with you something I wouldn't usually share?" And when I said yes, she shared some very personal things with me about her personal life, and I don't know, it was just so nice to see how sometimes it's the emotional scrubbing that we do that our children can instinctively sense, and that opens the door for a warmer and closer relationship with them without actually changing a thing in the way that we do things with them. Another mom that I know was going through a very difficult time with her father, who was diagnosed with mental illness. And she was sharing with me how the listening time she had in the past year helped her to grieve her losses and experience her fears for her own mental health and process memories from being a child and having to deal with heavy emotional loads herself. And even though there was so much going on in her life, she was able to stay warm and playful and connected with her kids for the most of the time. And that's really something that usually is really, really hard for us when our mind is somewhere else. And one thing that was really significant for her is that she didn't feel like she needed to burden her kids with her big feelings. She was able to bring them to her listening partner, offload them, and come back to her kids with more energy and love. And here I want to mention that one of the benefits of joining the Parent Intensive class is actually to have a community of like-minded parents that you can start a listening partnership with. You'll have a larger community that you would know and you can do that with. And also having a long-lasting support that is led by an instructor. And building this kind of support network for yourself is key in finding your way out and ahead of big challenges. What I would like to do next is to give Roma a chance to talk about a tool we can use with our children as a proactive tool to bring warmth and safety into our relationship, especially when times are hard. that's what we're here for. So, Roma, the floor
Thanks,
is yours.
Thanks, Ravi. Thank you, yeah. So I'm going to talk a bit about a tool that we call Special Time. And if listening partnerships are the parent's oxygen mask, I think Special Time has got to be the child's oxygen mask. And what you do in Special Time is give your child your full attention for a set period of time. And this is particularly helpful to do daily if you can, even just for 5 minutes, if your family is under duress. And it's a tool that's so simple that it couldn't possibly be as effective as it is, but it's certainly been transformational in my family. So the way that you do Special Time is that you set a timer, and you would do that for however long you think you can pay good attention. So if that starts off at 5 minutes, that's absolutely great. 5 minutes can have a really positive impact. And the reason we suggest using a timer is that firstly, it just helps you focus your attention. You know for that 5 minutes that you're not going to be looking after another child or speaking to somebody else. You're not going to answer the phone or make a cup of tea. You're just going to focus on what your child's doing and following their lead. The other aspect of the timer is that it builds safety for your child. So it gives them the sense that you're really there for them in a way that's going to be uninterrupted. And for that period of time, you just delight in them. Whatever they're doing, you just pour your love on. I like the idea that in Special Time, we get to model the patience and the flexibility and the generosity that we would love our child to show for the other 23 hours and 55 minutes of the day. Sometimes you might have to set a limit during Special Time. Only if your child was going to hurt you or them, or it may be if they were going to break something. But apart from that, your focus is just on saying yes as much as possible. So things that you might not normally allow during Special Time, you let that go. And you just really try and enjoy the fact that they're doing it. Bring your full enthusiasm. And when the timer goes off, you're going to move away from Special Time. So just thank your child. Let them know that you enjoyed connecting with them. And as you start to move away, sometimes that can bring up big feelings in them, or they might say, no, Mommy, don't stop. I want to play more. And you're just going to hold that boundary and just say, I'm sorry, sweetheart. We're going to finish now, but we can do more tomorrow. Sometimes that allows them to bring up feelings. They might cry or become angry. And that's actually a really useful aspect of Special Time. Because you've built that safety and connection, it allows them to start offloading some of the feelings about other things that might be going on in their lives that feel difficult. And what you usually notice is that after Special Time, your child is much more cooperative. They're much more flexible and easygoing. And the day tends to go more smoothly once you've had that initial filling up of their kind of emotional cup. And I can share a story about how we use Special Time in our family over time to cope with a challenging situation. So my 7-year-old son chose to go to school earlier this year. And before that point, he'd always been home educated and he hadn't been much away from the family. So he was quite frightened of being away from us, but he really wanted to go to the school. And in the months leading up to the starting point, he became very, very anxious and aggressive, and he was really struggling to get through the days. We did a lot of special time over that time. Sometimes we had to do emergency special time when he was really off track just to help the day go a bit smoother. But we also scheduled special time every day. And what I noticed was that he wanted to play a lot of power games where he was the powerful one and I was the kind of weak or stupid or slow or not as quick or clever one. So, for example, he wanted to do pillow fights where he would stand on top of his bunk bed and he would have six pillows and I would have one and he would just beat me with his pillows, and every time he hit me I had to drop to the floor dead and I had to stay still for 30 seconds and he would bomb me as soon as I moved with one of his many pillows, and if I ever hit him he would just have to freeze for something like 3 seconds. So it was really, really in his favor, and he just basically killed me over and over again about 40 times. He loved that really delighted him. And we did another game where we were doing a special time in town, and he took me to a square in the center of town and blindfolded me, and we played a sort of version of Blind Man's Buff where I had to chase him. So I was this kind of bumbling, blind, slow mummy, and he was the kind of quick, clever child darting away from me, and he would throw sticks or stones in a different direction so that it would make a sound, and I would kind of foolishly bumble after the sound and pretend to be looking for him. So we did a lot of this kind of power play in lots of different ways, and when it came to starting school, he came into the morning circle in the morning. He was terrified. He was really shaking, and he's a child that finds it very difficult to engage with groups and say what he's feeling. But he managed to stand up and introduce himself and say, "I'm feeling terrified." And he got on really well and he made friends and he fit in with the school. And it was so beautiful to see how he met that fear, and when he came home from school, I don't think I've ever seen him so happy. He was so pleased with himself. He knew that he'd conquered something that felt impossible to him, and he would come home and be singing and bouncing around with joy, and it felt really successful. So, that's how special time has helped us. And I think Ravid is going to say a little bit more about how you can help your child with feelings when they come up after special time.
Yeah. Thank you, Roma. That is beautiful.
Thank
really
you.
Inspiring. Really inspiring. I just want to point to things. One is it's just so interesting to see how your son picked those areas where he felt least confident and just worked on them again and again and again and could just gain his confidence more and more. It's just that's the genius of our kids, and it's just amazing to see that. And one more thing in relation to special time, because we're talking here about difficult times for our families where we are going through so many changes, and some of them are really not changes we wanted, I think one more way to look at special time is as an island of reality that remained untouched or unchanged. So even if there are so many things around our children that are different, that are difficult, that are not what they would have liked or wanted or chose, it's the special time that brings them the connection that they can trust on having. And that is a really true gift. So I think special time is always something that is important to apply and use with our kids as often as possible. But I think at difficult time and challenging times, it's even more so. Just like Roma said, it's like an oxygen mask for times of emergency. So thank you for that, Roma.
Yeah, thank you.
And as Roma noticed, sometimes the end of special time can bring upset feelings. And the idea is not to think, oops, something went wrong here. I probably didn't do special time the right way, or my child is not reacting the right way. When we are seeing feelings bubble up, especially after special time, but in general, it's actually a sign that things are going really well. It's actually a sign that it's safe and close enough for them to show you how they feel. So the last thing I would like to talk about today is our kids' feelings. So we talked about our feelings and then special time, and now it's our kids' feelings' turn. So in order for our children to thrive in different circumstances, especially difficult ones, they need to offload their feelings as well. Now, the reality of a challenging situation doesn't always come right away. It can take time for it to set in, for all of you, actually. But as feelings do come up, you want to tell the children that they are welcome to feel sad or angry or lonely, and you will sit with them while they are upset. We call this tool Stay Listening, and the idea is to listen to how they feel. You limit the behavior when needed and as needed, but with a general tone that says all feelings are welcome. So the limit is always on the behavior, but not on the feelings. You let them cry or even tremble, sweat or shake. Children know how to get upset feelings out. And what they need from us is our attention and the safety and warmth of our love and acceptance. So if we'll just let them fully express an upset, it would lift the heaviness of those feelings and allow them to return to better functioning. Research actually shows us that shedding emotional burden is the most healthy and natural way for our mind to clear. So if we can allow our children to actually feel any feelings that come up for them, and we also give them the message that although they're feeling bad right now and it seems really hard or painful, we trust them to overcome it. And that in itself is a gift, because as I said earlier, for us as kids, there was no one there to actually contain our feelings and support it and be with it. If we do that with our kids, we're actually giving them a model of not being afraid of the challenge, but actually empowering our children by giving them a very natural and effective way to process it and realize that it is a temporary situation and it will pass. And here I wanted to share with you a little story about my younger daughter. When she was 10, I think, we were driving in the car, and she brought a CD with her that she used to listen when she was smaller, back when we lived in the U.S., and I think something about listening to that music from back from her childhood triggered some feelings from her, and those memories brought up some heavy feelings, and she was starting to tell me all the hard things that she was dealing with, all the things that she used to have and she misses, and about how I was not making a good choice for her. The main difficulty that my daughter was dealing with when we moved to Israel was socially. She was having a really, really hard time socially, finding friends, finding her way in this new environment, it was heartbreaking, actually. And there she was, sitting in the car. I was driving, although I was with my back to her, but I was very attuned to what she was saying, sitting there and just saying it very, very strongly. Nothing of what she said was new to me, but the way she said it and the clarity in which she articulated it were very, very powerful. And as I was listening to it all, I hardly said a word. I was trying to stay very, very quiet. Whenever I could, I tried to look back at her and offer my eye contact. And throughout the whole time, I was holding myself really, really hard not to say anything. The one thing that I did say only once the entire time was, I really want you to have a good life. And as she was talking, she wasn't really crying then, but I could tell by the look on her face that she was very emotional. And I can't tell you enough how hard that was to sit there and listen to all that she had to say. I felt really guilty and sad, but somehow I knew that the best thing I could offer her at that moment was my silent listening, because I believed she already knew my perspective, and I had offered her my advice and my comfort plenty of times, and I couldn't do anything to fix it, so all I could offer her was my loving attention. When we got to our destination, I just told her, I love you so much, and I promise you I will think about everything you told me. She went out of the car, and all I wanted was just to stay there and cry by myself, but this was not possible, and I knew it would have to wait for my next listening partnership. What was interesting about this event, because, I mean, she had plenty of crying, and there was plenty of stay listening episode with her around this whole social situation. But what I remember particularly about that event is after those 15 minutes of sharing and ranting and accusing and longing, she spent the next few days laughing really hard and long and wholeheartedly. I remember she stayed at my mom's, and I was and my mom told me that they were laughing and playing the whole time. And I even remember that when my husband saw her after a few weeks that he wasn't here, and when he came, he could also notice the change. He noticed her high spirit and her continuous laughter. So in a way, I guess that she felt much lighter after dumping this big rock of feeling off her mind. Another interesting thing that you will notice once you start doing stay listening is that children often unload their feelings about big, difficult events by erupting over really small and insignificant triggers. So a child can do an hour of healing work about missing daddy or mommy when the corner falls off their cookie, or they spill a drop of water on their pajamas, or they wanted the red cup and you only had a blue cup to give them. So if you move in and you put your arm around your child and you gently refuse to fix the upsetting little thing, your child can use it like a can opener. They scream and they tell you very powerfully how they need the whole cookie, or they need a change of pajama, and how we never listen to them, and how we never do what they ask us, and we just stay there and hold them and look into their eyes and offer love and understanding, and gently, really gently saying, we're not going to have another cookie now, or you'll do just fine with this pajama shirt. What you're doing there is pouring in your love and your warmth, and that's exactly what's going to help all these feelings to be released. And after a big cry or tantrum about such small thing, a child feels much more secure in the world and much less troubled because we were there for them. We listened. We cared. They grieved over something that wasn't right, a small thing that was actually a stand-in for what was really frightening and overwhelming for them. And after all of this, you'll see that your child will be much more relaxed and much more cooperative, and oftentimes much more affectionate too. This will be your sign that what you've done was really good and you've been able to listen to them all the way through. Researchers have found that when parents provide support during difficult emotional experiences, children actually have the opportunity to develop a more sophisticated understanding of the mind. This is a quote from one of the books that we really recommend at Hand in Hand. It's called Parenting from the Inside Out, and it's really in line. It really shows a lot of research that backs the use of the tools that Hand in Hand is offering. And before we finish, I would just like to add a quote of one of Patty's articles that talks generally about struggles and how struggles can be good. And I really like this quote, so I want to share it with you before I leave room for questions. We at Hand in Hand hope you will remember that you are good, that your children want closeness with you above everything else, and that the struggles that you and your children may have are worthy struggles. I think the main message here is that there is nothing wrong with you or your family just because you are going through some difficulties. And I would leave it here, and I'll open the floor for questions. If you want to bring any, share any, you're more than welcome. Is there anyone who wants to ask anything? Okay, I guess not. So if there are no questions today, I would just like to offer you to look on our website for more information on and everything that we've talked about today. You can find much, much more on the website. And I hope we've been able to help you to think more clearly around helping your family in challenging time. I hope some of this information would be helpful to you. And if you would like to learn more, you can join one of our upcoming classes, and one of them that I mentioned earlier is the Parent Intensive, which is a 10-week class that's designed for parents who would like to hone their parenting by connection skills and also get some focused attention and support on some family challenges. I'm going to lead one of those classes. I think it's going to be on Wednesday morning, starting September 16th. I sure hope you can join me there. And I would like to thank you again for taking the time to be here today. I would also like to thank Roma for sharing her experience with Parenting by Connection. Thank you so much, Roma.
Thanks, Ravi. Thanks for having me on your call.
Sure, sure. It was a pleasure. And if some of you couldn't make it to this call and are listening to to the replay later and you have questions, you're more than welcome to send it over to either our Facebook page or our discussion group, and hopefully we could get those questions answered at a different time. So thank you, everybody, and have a great day. Happy to be here with you. Bye.
Bye.